Hi, good morning and greetings in the Lord's precious name. Thank God we have an opportunity again to come before His goodness and before His grace and so that we could worship and we could hear His word. As we have been continuing in the book of the Gospel of John, chapter 17, shall we turn to the same text, please? The Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 13 to 19. Am I being heard over there, Brother Matthew or Brother Johnson?
Yes,
can you hear me?
All good.
Okay.
Yes, Brother, you're okay.
Yeah, I've been having a lot of internet problems and computer freezing, so just bear with me in case there's any lag or any disconnection, please. Yeah, so we'll turn to John chapter 17 and verses 13 to 19, please. Can someone read that for me? Any youngster, loudly and clearly.
Now have I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves.
Okay.
I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth.
Thank you, Paul, our loving Heavenly Father. Our dear God and our mighty Redeemer, we come this morning before the throne of thy grace, Lord, and we come and approach thy goodness and thy kindness thou hast shown towards us, O Lord, all our lives. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessing of your word and for the blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who dwelt, O Lord, on this earth, and who, Lord, who spoke wonderful words that we could hear him, we could know him, and we could learn of him. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for thy Son, who, O Lord, has become our Jehovah, Jesus himself. I worship you, Lord, this morning. And I thank you for the privilege we are given. And as, O Lord, we look into these exalted words of our Savior again, we pray that thou will speak to us, O Lord, that thou will give us that knowledge which comes from above, because we are mere mortals. And we cannot comprehend, O Lord, what that exalted communion is between God the Son and between God the Father. We may never know many things, O Lord, but we pray that thou in thy goodness and through thy scriptures, thou will help us so that we may understand a few things of him, a few things of what he had spoken for us, and a few things he would like us to know. Help us this morning, Lord, as we look into these words. In Jesus' name we ask, Lord. Amen. As we have been just reading these few verses, you remember, we have been meditating on this section for quite some time. And I have last time I was sharing, I closed at verse 16 with the understanding that we'll continue from verse 17. Now, as we have seen throughout John chapter 17, and especially from verses 10, the Lord Jesus Christ was praying for his people, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ was praying, especially for his disciples. And likewise, as verse 20 tells us, we can include ourselves, he was praying for all those who come to him through the work and the ministry of the disciples and through the work and ministry of the Word of God. So we are included. So he was praying for them and he was praying for us. And now moving on to verses 17 to 19, we see some wonderful truths here, isn't it? Truths which he was speaking with his Father, communion with his Father. In verse 17, he said, sanctify them. Then coming to verse 19, he said, for their sakes, I sanctify myself. Glorious thoughts, isn't it? Sanctify them. That God in Christ is asking God the Father in heaven that he should do that wonderful work and sanctify us. Something extraordinary. We can say something heavenly. And then we also learn there, he adds at the beginning of verse 19, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself. Again, a glorious thought. Something which speaks about himself, isn't it? Difficult to understand. But again, thank God for the scriptures. We could garner or we could glean some through the scriptures and learn. And then through those two verses, we can see that we know his mind, isn't it? He desires his people to cherish these great truths because it was an audible prayer. We have heard that before. He was praying and his disciples were able to hear him and record his words later. He desired his people to cherish what he was speaking. And then he also probably desired, because he was praying to his Father, he would want us to keep asking for these special truths in our life. Sanctify me, O Lord, should probably be our daily prayer. What is that word, sanctify, again, please? What does it mean scripturally? What do you think it is? Scripturally, sanctify means to separate oneself for a cause or for a divine purpose. Scripturally, as I said, sanctify, according to the Word of God, means to separate oneself for a cause, especially for a divine purpose. It means to cut and separate oneself from common use and be set apart for divine use. That's what the Bible keeps speaking. It means to separate an object from common use and set it apart for God and his purposes. That is what sanctify means. It means to be set apart, made holy, and made fit for the master's use and his kingdom. Probably that's the reason we could see there, isn't it? The Lord is asking his Father, sanctify them, that we, his people, may be set apart, made more holy, made perfect, and made fit for the master's use and his kingdom. And probably for to be in his presence too, isn't it, in heaven? That was his desire. This holy desire, we could see Lord Jesus Christ possessed all his earthly life. The Bible says that he was the face of the invisible God, isn't it? If you and I sometimes wonder as to how God looks. It is very simple, isn't it? Just look at him, the one who came onto this earth. He was Jehovah, the Father, who was manifested as Jehovah Jesus, the Son of God, isn't it? And this holy desire of our Lord Jesus Christ, he wanted to implant in his people. Even as he asked his Father one last time, just remember that, one last time before taking up his cross. Next day, he was being led away. We know that. John chapter 18. And there in the last few moments, the only thing which consumed him, the last thing which consumed him, was that you and I are sanctified, isn't it? Sanctified by the Father, by God the Father himself. Now, we often associate our sanctification or sanctification with our personal cleansing, isn't it? Remember a few months back, Brother Matthew had dwelt on this wonderful topic very, very clearly. We often associate sanctification with our personal cleansing. And that is partly true. The Bible supports it. For every Christian or for every Christian life always begins with a personal cleansing and washing and regeneration. So if there is any one of us here who is not born again, then this sanctify them does not apply to us. Our sanctification only begins when you and I humble ourselves and come before God and confess our sins and repent of our sins. And we submit wholly unto his goodness and to his grace and for his saving grace. Notice what Apostle Paul spoke in 1 Corinthians 6:11, please. He said, and that is what some of you were. He was pointing to their old life. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. But you are washed and you are sanctified. You are cleansed, we can add there. And you are justified. The word holiness again in the scripture is, it is often expressed in scripture as sanctification. Holiness means sanctification. The Hebrew word to sanctify is kadesh. And in the Greek, it is called as hagizo. And both primarily mean the same thing. That means to separate something from the common use and devote it to God. The person or the object who is separated is thus set apart to be sanctified. That is, to be made holy. That's what the Bible has been speaking right from the beginning, isn't it? Just turn to Genesis chapter 2 and 3, please. Sorry, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3. And it is said there, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. The first time that was seen in the Bible, isn't it? That word holiness or sanctified. God set apart the seventh day. It means God set apart the seventh day from the other days of the week, holy for rest, and for religious purposes. Do you see what that sanctify means? Being set apart from the common use as the other days are to something which he would want us to observe. The same principle is seen again in Exodus chapter 29 and 43, where the temple and all the things were set apart for God, isn't it? Can someone turn to Exodus 29? And read from 43 to 46, please.
And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. So I will consecrate the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. I will also consecrate both Aaron and his sons to minister to me as priests. I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord, the God who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord, their God.
Thank you. You see, the Lord's intent concerning his people, concerning his house, he said, I will meet there and I will sanctify the place I meet there. That's what it is, isn't it? And I'll sanctify the altar in 44. Then I will sanctify the priest, Aaron and his sons. Why? It's clearly listed there, isn't it? That he may minister to me in the priest's office. And there, in that place of sanctified place, I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord, their God. And that I brought them out from the land of Egypt, and that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord your God. Wonderful text, isn't it? The same principle is seen in Exodus. And again in 2 Chronicles 7:16, we need not turn there, where again the Lord says, I have set apart my house for myself. That's what he means. So the same principle concerns the separation or the sanctification of things for God himself, isn't it? And similar to the people. Why? Because even though he has made these common earthly materials like other objects, even though he has made us like other people, his things are set apart from, set apart or separated from common use and devoted exclusively to the worship of God and service in the temple. His words speak great truths to us, isn't it? That's what he intended when he revealed these blessed truths to Moses and to the children of Israel. That same Bible is our Bible. The same God is our God. The same sanctification he requires in our own lives. That separation from that common use of you and I who are prone to and be separated exclusively to him. Now, similarly, the word sanctify applies in the same way to, as we have just read, to Aaron and his people, isn't it? Aaron and his sons and their sons. Leviticus 8:6-30 gives a very good account of this thing. Shall we turn to that, please? Leviticus 8:6-30, I'll read for that. A few verses from there. And verse 6 says, and Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. And Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein and sanctified them. Note that verse 10, please. And anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein and sanctified it, separated it. And Moses took the, and verse 30, and Moses took the anointing oil and of the blood, which was upon the altar, and sprinkled it upon Aaron and upon his garments and upon his sons and upon his sons' garments with him, and sanctified Aaron and his garments and his sons and his sons' garments with him. Notice again, the persons chosen for this sacred office were separated from the common people. Aaron was just like anyone else, isn't it, in the camp of Israel. The persons chosen for the sacred office of God were taken and separated from the common people and from the ordinary pursuits or ordinary walks of life. And they were devoted exclusively to God and to perform his duties in the temple. And you and I can add and say, thus they were sanctified. Then the New Testament also speaks of Christian believers, isn't it? Who are said to be separated from the world and from inward sinfulness and actually devoted to God and his service. Can someone read 1 Thessalonians 5:23, please? 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I will read that for you. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Was it not the intent in the Lord's asking his Father, sanctify them, that you and I, his people, are sanctified and we are preserved blameless and holy unto his coming? So it applies even to us, isn't it? This great truth. Now let us turn to John chapter 17, verses 17 to 19, please. This is the text we are looking at this morning. First, we will look at verse 19. And the Lord, as he was praying, we hear in verse 19, he says, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Notice it is God in Christ Jesus communing with his Father. These are not ordinary words. an ordinary man like Apostle Paul or Apostle John, they are not recording this prayer for us to learn. It is God in Christ communing with God his Father. Exalted words, isn't it? And yet, thank God, we mortals are given privilege of knowing this great truth. He said, I sanctify myself for their sakes, or I sanctify myself on their behalf. What does it mean? The Lord Jesus Christ was certainly not claiming that he was cleansed or he cleansed himself of sin in his life. We have to be very clear, please. Sanctification in a Christian begins with cleansing and regeneration of our sinful past. The Lord Jesus Christ was not certainly claiming, it does not apply to him, that he was cleansed or cleansed himself of sin. But he was speaking primarily of his own separation for the glory of God. The Bible speaks of that, isn't it? He was speaking of his own separation, as the text says, for the glory of God, for the purpose of God, for the service of God, for the salvation of the people, and for the edification of his people. The Bible tells us very clearly, isn't it? He was holy, full stop. He was holy, harmless, and absolutely without sin, cries Apostle Peter. We can understand that he was intrinsically holy. There was nothing. There was no sin in him. He did no sin. He knew no sin. The Bible says that. He was holy intrinsically. He was holy morally, experimentally in his life, and judicially without sin before God. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ was. And he said, I sanctify myself. And he was speaking of himself, sanctified or set apart as the provision of God for his people. The provision of God, as the Bible keeps reminding, as the apostles kept writing, isn't it? He was set apart, sanctified as the provision of God for the atonement, Leviticus chapter 17. For the propitiation, Romans 3:23. For the redemption and for the salvation of his people. That's what he was set apart for. That's what he was putting before the Father. I sanctify myself for their sakes. This is what I have done. Now, Holy Father, consider them that they are like me. Consider them and sanctify them even as I am sanctified. That's what he means, isn't it? Now let us turn to two precious texts, please, which throw light on this blessed truth about our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2, verses 23, as Apostle Peter was preaching there. And he said, and him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands you have crucified and slain him. Do you see what Apostle Peter is reminding here? He speaks of the eternal counsel of God, who separated and sanctified God in Jesus Christ to be offered as an oblation and as a sacrifice for sin, and to be delivered and crucified by the wicked hands of his people. That's what it means, isn't it? The counsel of God, of yore, beyond time, before the foundation of the world, separated God himself in Jesus Christ, that he will be the sacrifice. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ was bringing up, isn't it? And again, Hebrews 1:1, please. Beautiful text here. It says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And again, verse 9, if you go further, the end it says, therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. That text belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? It was referring to him in the past. God in sundry times and in different ways spake unto the fathers by the prophets. Now he has spoken unto us by his son. It's good to ask a question here. What has he spoken through the prophets? Well, he was speaking through the prophets of his beloved son, anointed and sanctified as the savior, as the only savior of the world. Remember that, as the only savior of the world, as the anointed and appointed Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. Again, please turn to Genesis 22:14, please. This precious truth is revealed here concerning Abraham, isn't it? And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and said, and behold behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. Do you see that great truth revealed here? God revealed his blessed son, Jehovah Jireh. That's what I would like to put it as. God the Father revealed his beloved son, Jehovah Jireh, the Lamb of God, earmarked, provisioned, and set apart as the only offering instead of Abraham's son, instead of any sinner who comes to his before him and accepts him. That's what it is, isn't it? Then turning again to Exodus chapter 12, verses 5 to 7, please. It's good if you turn your Bible with me. We find another great truth here, isn't it? Can someone read that for me? Exodus chapter 12, verse 5 to 7.
Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, you may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it and twilight, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it.
Thank you, Brother Naresh. Do you see? The Lord is presenting Israel's lamb, isn't it? This lamb is without blemish. It means holy and sanctified. A male of the first year who is to be taken and killed and his blood applied and eaten. That's what it means, isn't it? I'm deliberately saying he because the word of God supports it. He is to be killed and his blood shed and sprinkled and eaten.
And so looking into the Bible, because he's got the thing in his screen.
Good, yeah.
I can hear someone there. He's on the mark. Can you mute it, please? He is to be killed and his blood shed and sprinkled and eaten. And he was the sure sign of Passover from the land of Egypt unto the land of Canaan. Do you see there? Again, we see something precious here, isn't it? Previously, it was just a lamb which Abraham had taken. But now, Israel lamb is without blemish. You see something better, isn't it? And Israel's lamb, now its blood is mentioned and it is shed here. And then its blood taken and applied. And then his body eaten, isn't it? It speaks great things, isn't it? And we remember these things, and as Apostle Paul reminded in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we try to keep these in our lives, isn't it? And then again, moving to Isaiah, I'll try to move quickly here, please. Then moving to Isaiah, we hear that the prophet is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ as the sanctified and suffering servant of Jehovah, isn't it? If you want to go and take a look, Isaiah 43, on to chapter 53. We have wonderful portions about our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah describing or speaking of our Lord as the sanctified and suffering servant of Jehovah. What a life, what a servant life he lived on earth, isn't it? All 33 years of his earthly life. And the suffering he underwent throughout his life. In Isaiah 53, we are told he was called a man of sorrows. I don't think anyone has been called a man of sorrows. A man of sorrows, the suffering servant of Isaiah, of Jehovah, the suffering as a man of sorrows. He's acquainted with our griefs. He was despised and he was rejected of men. We all like sheep have gone astray, the text says. And the Lord had laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was despised. He was not esteemed. That's what the Bible says. He was rejected of men. That's suffering, isn't it? And then again, Apostle Peter reminds us, 1 Peter 2:23. Who, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. That's him, isn't it? It is the Lord Jesus Christ, sanctified as the suffering servant of Jehovah. That's him. That's the one you and I desire to adore and worship, isn't it? And then he said, I came not to be served, but to serve. How unlike you and I, isn't it? We look to a savior who claims, I came not to minister, I came not to be served, but that I serve others. Just look at Matthew 20, 28, please. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. What a man, isn't it? What a God we have in Jesus Christ. Then let us quickly turn to Leviticus chapter 17, please. Verse 11. This one text sets him apart and declares the full meaning of our Lord Jesus Christ sanctified. 17:11, Leviticus, please. It says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for your soul. We saw in Genesis, it was just a lamb offered in the stead of Abraham's son, isn't it? Then we saw in Exodus, God's lamb was presented without blemish, set apart, slain, blood sprinkled, and flesh eaten. But now coming to Leviticus 17:11, we find another great truth, isn't it? We find God's Lamb is God himself. We find God's Lamb is God himself, and he is offering himself on the altar. And he said, to make an atonement for your soul. For it is my life, he said, which makes atonement for your soul. What a savior, isn't it? What a God we have. What a Lord we have. The Lord God who was set apart, sanctified before the foundation of the world. And at the appointed time, he has come and he has become the atonement and the propitiation and the redemption and the salvation of our souls. What a great God we have, isn't it? Then beginning in New Testament, again, we see something wonderful of him, isn't it? He is declared by God himself, thou shall call him Jesus, for he shall take away the sins of his people. How wonderful, isn't it? The Jehovah Jireh of the Old Testament is now become the Jehovah Christ Jesus in the New Testament. And God called him Emmanuel, that is God with us. Apostle Paul reminded us, isn't it? In Romans 3:25, Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the sins, for the remission of the sins of the past, through the forbearance of God. He was separated to be the propitiation. Then again, 1 Corinthians 5:7, Apostle Paul, for even Christ, our Passover, he is sacrificed for us, he said. Then Apostle John, 1 John 2:2, and he said, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. And in 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And I'll just take 5 minutes, please, and close. Then look at his earthly life, what it is said. Even as he walked on this earth, he said, I have come to do my Father's will. That's what he was consumed, isn't it? The servant of Jehovah, separated and sanctified for his purposes, while on earth with his disciples, all he said is, I have come to do my Father's will. I have come to speak the words he has given me and to do his will. Then concerning his disciples, he taught them all these things, isn't it? That's what we keep hearing in John chapter 17. All his life, he separated himself and he walked with his disciples. Then he said, I gave them your word. Then he said, I taught them. Then he said, I kept them from evil. Then he said, I've given them your word again. We have a very good text here which speaks about his ministry, isn't it, on earth? Luke chapter 4, 16 to 22. Can you turn to that, please? And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. I would add here, where it was written of him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he claimed, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Do you see sanctified and separated? Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He sent me to preach deliverance to the captives and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all around him that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. What an earthly life, isn't it? What a testimony of God. And what an evidence and testimony to his people. And now he's just within touching distance of the cross, isn't it? As we are ending John chapter 17, beginning of John 18, he's led away. And now as he's within touching distance of the cross, he kept praying for his dear people. And all he said is, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through their truth. We will end here, please, and continue the next time with verse 17. And thank God, and may the Lord bless the sharing of his word.